listening to the Business Forward podcast, and I'm Reem Hossam, your host for this episode. COP27 has been the talk of the town for the past few months. The summit has seen the participation of thousands of people discussing topics that in many ways could determine the future of our planet and the lives of future generations. Joining us today is Dr. Dina Abdel-Fattah, Assistant Professor and Chair of the Department of Economics at the AUC School of Business, to share her reflections on the summit. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Dina. I understand you were a speaker at the summit, specifically on the Gender and Water Day. Now, from what you've observed at the summit, would you give us a glimpse of the general mood?
I would say the general mood was a very positive and active mood. So you see people are running from one session to the other. They're eager to take part in the discussions or even just to join session to learn more about different topics, visit the different booths or the different tents and try to learn more about what everyone else is doing. In the second week, which is something that I've been told because I was not there on the first week, more people from the blue zone started visiting the green zone and getting to know more about what's happening there. And I think this is very important because what's happening in the blue zone is mostly the top administration of the different organizations, and you have the ministers all in the blue zone discussing with the and having sealing agreements and so on. But it's very important to get on the ground and see what is happening in the green zone areas where you're having the private sector represented, the academic institutions represented, all the small businesses that are doing or producing products that are environmental friendly. So I think this is something that I saw in the second week, and from the people I saw there, they said this was not happening much in the first week. So I think this interaction and seeing things happening on the ground was very positive.
Well, delving more into the topics the summit is concerned with, what is the gender dimension in the climate issue, in your opinion?
Okay, so the 2 days that I attended at COP, and those were specifically selected due to the very rich discussions on the gender and the young people elements when it comes to climate change, adaptation and mitigations and so on. So when you get to look primarily at the gender aspect, you're going to see that women are always at the front line when it comes to the negative effects of climate change in general. So women are severely affected. You're going to see that women already don't have as much chances in joining labor markets as men do in different economies, especially of the emerging countries. And looking at experiences in Africa or other Arab countries, you're going to see that the representation of women in the labor market is already low compared to developed countries. And when you get to see the impact of climate change, you're going to see that these women are on the verge of vulnerability affected by climate change more than men. This is primarily explained by the type of economic activities they're mainly engaged in, the representation in agriculture or the rural sector in general, which is highly affected by climate change.
And in what way specifically will women be more vulnerable than men to climate change? Can you give us examples?
Sure. If you speak of agriculture, for example, so women who are engaged in the agriculture sector, you're going to see that with the climate change, the global warming, the increased temperature or the rising temperature, the rising humidity is affecting the quality of the crops, is affecting crop cycle, and it's affecting the quality of land itself. So the productivity of the land is affected, and therefore the income that is coming to these families are getting lower. So women are, especially women in rural areas, are primarily engaged in these agriculture activities, especially at the basic level. So these are going to be severely affected. The income that is coming to the families are going to be affected. Women who primarily take the decisions of education of their kids or taking care of the health of the family, they're going to be having less income that they need to use for these purposes. So an example of this is mainly the agriculture activities or the livestock even activities in rural areas. Women are primarily involved heavily in these sectors, and these are going to be one of the most affected sectors with climate change.
How are labor markets, specifically in emerging markets, affected by climate change?
Let me say two things. So The first week, they were mainly talking about the climate finance and the how to take the environment into consideration while deciding on the viability of any investment. But in the second week, they also highlighted a very important thing that private sector, for them to seek financing and seek support, they have to have a green component within their activities. So they have to make sure that whatever investments they're going for are more environmentally friendly. They are more green investments or have the green aspects in it. How this is going to change the future of the labor markets is the demand for green skills. So we're going through what we call the green transition, and therefore the demand for the green skills in the labor markets are going to increase. So the private investors or businesses in general have one of two options: either to look for the calibers of the employees that are fitting this criteria or are equipped with those skills that they're looking for and would easily get along with the vision of their investments, or they would have to work on preparing the applicants or the new workforce, the people who are entering their companies. They have to give them training and spend a lot of money on capacity buildings and equipping them with these skills that are needed. So we do see there is going to be a change in the demand in the labor market. We were previously discussing the artificial intelligence and the robotics and the technology and digitalization and how it's going to change the demand for skills in the future. I think climate change is another dimension where we need to keep an eye on, and the whole language is now more towards green investments, fair economies, and green skills.
What exactly is needed to equip youth and future labor market participants?
There has to be a revolution in the education system. So the education system needs to move away from what we're teaching students inside the classes or what they're reading in books or in lectures, more towards equipping them with the skills of the future. So to have a better equipped young population, you need to make sure that your curricula are changed and are in line with this green revolution or this labor market revolution that we're going to witness with regards to the demand for workers. So it's back to the educators, it's back to the academic institutions and how they're changing their education system in a way that would help prepare this new workforce or this new generation of workers that would easier or fit easier within this vision of green economy.
We've learned that you participated in a panel discussion organized by CIB, raising the question of whether our education systems are fit for purpose. What is your answer to this big question?
Well, I would say, given the efforts that are put into upgrading and updating curricula, I still don't see that we are ready for this education for sustainable development. So, if you talk about the education system in general, and specifically in Egypt, I would say that we're not there yet. We're not close to creating this young generation of thinkers or leaders that are equipped for this concept of sustainable development. So I always say students know what sustainability is. They know the SDGs, they know the ESGs. So these are topics that they are aware of. But the curricula are not prepared in a way that they are integrating these concepts within the skills that they are developing. So learning inside the classroom or from textbooks is one thing, and integrating these concepts into the mindset of the future generation is another thing. So I still think we have a huge role to play as educators into updating our curricula in a way that would prepare or change this mindset of the students to be able to compete with or compete in an ever-evolving labor market. We're taking very good steps. So I would actually reflect on AUC and the School of Business, and I would say we are taking very good steps towards that. But I wouldn't say that we are there yet. The end line is not closed. The end line keeps going further away. But we have what it takes in order to work on this education for sustainable development. So in short, the answer is no, we're not there yet. However, having the mindset or the belief among the educators that they want to do this change, I think it's coming. It is going to take its time, but we're getting there.
With the creation of climate mitigation and adaptation industries, how are labor markets likely to change? And do you think there is a gender dimension in this likely impact?
Well, the gender dimension when it comes to the changes in the labor market, I would say we still need to consider this gender dimension from empowering women to join the labor markets to start with. So before considering climate change or any other dimension that is more specific to these discussions, I would say there has to be or policies have to work harder on empowering women to join the labor markets. So we've been working, or the different policies that are existent have been working on empowering women with education that would allow them to engage within the economies and the societies and in the labor market. However, there is still a huge cultural dimension that is still acting as a barrier to women joining the labor markets. And what I'm seeing is that there are opportunities for women to join the labor markets at the comfort of, or taking into consideration their societal role as mothers and wives. There has to be more support in this direction. And then considering the climate change and, as I said before, the digitalization of the labor market and so on, these are additional skills or additional aspects that need to be taken into consideration. But I think we need to work harder first on having women join the labor markets, become more productive, choose which sectors they want to take part in and which areas they want to excel in. And then we can consider what changes are happening in these sectors with regards to climate change and with regards to the digitalization, and equally equip males and females with these skills that would allow them to excel in these.
Finally, from your perspective, what would be a meaningful and realistic agreement that can come out of COP27?
I think we've been reading from the news or following up on social media on many of the agreements that have been signed. One thing that I heard in one of the sessions yesterday, and I think it was very interesting, was talking about the logo of COP27. And if you look at the logo, you're going to find on the bottom there are many hands, and on the top of it there are rays that are coming, sun rays. So it is actually showing the role of cooperation, and I would add to it coordination. That would allow us to push forward with these agreements that are happening. So this is a COP for implementation. So we really want to see these agreements or these cooperations that have been discussed are actually put into action, and we start seeing the implementation of what has been discussed.
Thank you so much for speaking to us, Dr. Dina. This was very informative and enlightening.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
You were listening to the Business Forward podcast featuring Dr. Dina Abdel Fattah, Assistant Professor and Chair of the Department of Economics at the AUC School of Business, reflecting on the happenings of COP27, Sharm el Sheikh. Subscribe to stay updated to more podcasts by Business Forward, the knowledge portal of the AUC School of Business.